Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
All right, a little after four. The Brian Billick Report is brought to you by Mavis Discount Tire. Save on tires at MavisTire.com and the Joseph Abboud flagship store. Experience exceptional quality, style, and service at its very best. And, of course, by SeatGeek, which we'll get to later. And you'll see him on the NFL Network. He's got a show coming up that probably tomorrow night, right? Isn't it Wednesday night, the show? I believe it is, right?
Yeah, playbooks on at 6 o'clock on the NFL Network Eastern.
Yep, okay. Let's get to, as we get now into the deeper parts of this year and we kind of sort things out, you kind of see things kind of coming together. I mean, you can see where the teams are starting to separate a little bit. They've especially separated in the AFC. In the NFC, it's going to be a lot crazier. There's 10 teams that are in the hunt realistically right now for six spots. So, I mean, that's going to be a very interesting race, and especially the South, where you have Atlanta beating Dallas, so they're 5-4. You have New Orleans and Carolina, they've each won seven games, and those teams are all going to play each other. Matter of fact, Atlanta plays in weeks 14, 16, and 17. They play New Orleans, and Carolina. They have five division games left. That fight in that division is going to be really some fun football.
Yeah, it is, and right now it looks like, you know, that not only the winner, but you may have three teams from that division. Of course, they're going to battle Dallas, they're going to battle Seattle or L.A., depending upon how that shakes out. So that wild card division that I'm always talking about, it's its own kind of division when you're crossing over from whichever two teams from the NFC South, and of course with the Cowboys, and you can't eliminate the Redskins, but obviously it's getting tougher with every loss that they have. And then obviously what's going on in the NFC West.
And, you know, Atlanta, I don't want to say that they, you know, made great strides last week. They got a pass rush. They exploited Dallas. They did some things there. Of the three teams, which one do you think is most vulnerable right now? Now, Saints have won seven in a row. You got Carolina, which comes off a win last night. And Atlanta, which probably has the most talent of the three, which one's the most vulnerable team in your mind?
Well, New Orleans looks good. We'll see how real that defense is, but their schedule the rest of the way is the best of the three. So you got to figure they're in pretty good shape. That talent that they have in Atlanta, it'll sure look good the other night. And if they can find their rhythm, find what they're doing offensively, they're going to be a tough out. So Carolina, they've been up and down, and although they certainly look good the other night, last night, and are a solid team, really good solid defense, they're still relying a great deal on Cam Newton running the ball, and that is a little problematic for me.
You know, the Raiders have had a very spotty year in a lot of ways. They get New England in Mexico City, and they need to get to 5-5. If they lost here, they'd be 4-6. Just to get a playoff spot, I mean, to prove that they need a big win, this could be the game that could maybe get them started in the right direction to a wild card, at the least, even if Kansas City wins the division. You know, a lot was expected from this Raider team. It's been disappointing. That's, I think, a very big game for them this week.
Yeah, it is, and it's opportunity, like I said, to kind of put themselves, not to catch Kansas City necessarily, in the AFC West, but they too are in that wild card division, depending upon, you know, teams like Tennessee and Jacksonville, and Baltimore's in that mix, obviously, as well. So this could be a big, big win for them, better than playing in, obviously, in New England. Derek Carr looks to be back with him. Amari Cooper showed a couple weeks ago that he can still be that big play receiver. The defense is the biggest concern. They've been a little bit up and down, and I think that's the one that if there's an Achilles heel for them right now, I don't know how much better they are on defense. And, of course, New England, we're going to find out if indeed their defense is playing better or whether Derek Carr and that group can take advantage of the big plays the way that New England's been giving up big plays.
You know, we're talking with Brian Billick. The Eagles go into Dallas flying high, and the Cowboys, you know, they were without Elliott. They're going to be without him again. They were without, obviously, part of their offensive line, which hurt. It gave up 8 sacks. Now they get the Eagles in their building. I mean, the Eagles will clinch. If they win this game, they'll clinch the division by Thanksgiving. So, I mean, this is the night that it has to come down. Otherwise, the Eagles have flown away from everybody. Off last week, you think the Cowboys are up to the challenge?
Certainly they're up to the challenge. That's in Dallas, right?
Yep.
Yeah, anytime you can get that at home. But I tell you what, the Eagles are so complete. And we saw not that Dak Prescott isn't up to the challenge, but more and more is going to rely on him. And what Atlanta did, and a lot of people are going to follow suit, they did a nice job of slow rushing in the middle, spying, not necessarily spying, but just making sure that you fill those rush lanes very slowly so that you know, Dak Prescott can't beat you. He can beat you from the pocket. That's not to say that he can't. But you know he's going to kill you if he gets outside the pocket. And Atlanta did a real nice, after having given up a bunch of yards to Cam Newton the week before, they seem to have kind of cracked the code on that. And I got to believe that Philadelphia is going to take a page out of that playbook.
Yeah, you know, the Eagles have really not taken a bad step. I mean, they haven't had even a little crisis of confidence at all. There's nothing that's happened to that team. They've been winning these games easily. And, you know, a couple more of these, and they're going to be long gone here very early. And, you know, to see a team just take off like that is a little unusual. It really is. I mean, because everything has fallen into place, and the division is kind of disintegrated underneath them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, because they've kind of been out of it for the last few years, you keep waiting for that other shoe to drop. Because their pedigree is such that, you know, that would happen. That game that we see with all the teams at some point, going, where did that one come from? You know, we see Pittsburgh do that all the time. Maybe the best, most talented team, particularly in the AFC, but they're always good for a game like the Indianapolis game, going, what the heck happened there? How is that possible? Philadelphia, I think the Rams the same way. We're kind of waiting for that, you know, boy, where did that game come from with the Rams? So they look like they've really matured the same way, and that they're very real in what they're able to do.
We're talking with Brian Billick as we move a little deeper into this season. You know, the Rams keep winning. Now Rams and Minnesota, you know, two teams that have had a very good season. They've overcome the Rams. Minnesota's overcome a lot. They keep winning. They won at Washington last week. The Rams keep winning. One of these teams is going to take a big jump towards the playoffs this week and really towards getting a bye in the first round. This isn't who would have thought it, but this is a big time game with a lot of, you know, with a lot of postseason implications as far as, you know, who plays where and home games and everything else. The winner of this game is going to be 8-2 and in very good shape.
Yeah. And those head to heads are so important. And Minnesota has been so impressive. And Case Keenum, and in all fairness, you know, we think of Case Keenum in terms of that rookie year, and he was pressed into playing in the playoffs with a Houston team with a great defense and a really good running game, just didn't step up. And, of course, in St. Louis a couple of years ago where they just weren't very good. So what he's doing in Minnesota and not turning the ball over, and, of course, the receivers with Thielen and Diggs, they're very real on offense. That was the thing that was always been missing for them the last few years. Didn't have a presence at the receiver position. Two excellent young receivers, and obviously the defense, particularly now with Seattle beat up, maybe the best defense in the league for my money, particularly that secondary. So, yeah, this is a huge game in terms of playoff implications, not in terms of making the playoffs, but in terms of seeding and where, you know, where you might end up being playing the next game.
You know, when you see the Rams, and you don't want to brand a team too quickly, But sometimes teams are real. I'll give you an example. Dick Vermeil went into an Eagles situation that was terrible, and you could see him have an immediate impact. Now, he didn't win the first year like this guy's doing, but you can see it sometimes a guy has an immediate impact on the whole organization. They just look crisper. They look like they act differently. They're in every facet, they're crisp. The Rams look like a real football team. And everything they do, they look like a real football team. But you don't want to canonize them too early here. But they really do look like the real thing here halfway through this season.
Well, and they're so complete. Offense, defense, special teams, balance on offense. Excellent coaching staff. I mean, Wade Phillips, obviously a proven commodity in terms of what he's done. And you can see this team growing and beginning to understand his system and just how well they've played the last 3 and 4 weeks. And, of course, with the offense, it's all about the progression of Jared Goff and what Sean McVay's done with him. And on special teams, I think John Fossil's the best special teams coach in the National Football League. Does such a spectacular job generating good plays. They're so sound. So, yeah, I think they're like Philadelphia in the sense that you can believe in them because they're complete. It's not just, you know, it's not just Carson Wentz. It's not just Jared Goff. They are as complete a team as there is in the NFL.
New England's going to win a lot of games the rest of the way. I wouldn't even be surprised. Now, who knows what the last week brings, whether they need the game or not. But if they do, they have 5 division games. They have a game against Pittsburgh, who they own. They have the game this week in Mexico City against the Raiders. And they have 5 games in a very weak division. They're going to win their division games. We know that. They have the game at Pittsburgh, which I know is at Pittsburgh, but Tom Brady has literally owned the Steelers. He just kills them. He absolutely owns them. From that standpoint, do you think this is New England as a team to beat, or are they vulnerable enough on defense this year that you can't label them that way?
Well, remember when we started the season, it was New England versus the field. It was, okay, that's where the betting was going to go, that you could have the rest of the field. And New England was the prohibitive favorite. And then they lost to Kansas City and kind of fell under the radar, which is, you know, how about that? The New England Patriots with all their Super Bowl rings are under the radar.
Well, their defense looked lousy early. It really did. You know, it looked pretty bad. Yeah.
And they do with Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh is primarily a zone team, and Brady's going to pick that zone apart. They're going to have to do a little bit more in terms of man coverage, man blitzes, as opposed to the zone blitzes. But they desperately need, I say desperately, if they have any plans of going to the Super Bowl, Pittsburgh's got to have that game in Pittsburgh in the postseason. And so, yeah, this is a big step towards showing that they can't do that. Or you're right. At the end of the day, it's, okay, who on that team has any history thinking they can go in and beat New England in New England? And that is going to be a factor.
Yeah, and, you know, the Steelers are hard to figure. They have talent. They're better on defense now. They have a lot of physical talent. They have balance. They can beat you with the wide receivers. They can beat you with the running back. They have the quarterback. You know, their defense has gotten better. Their secondary has gotten better. You just sense that something isn't completely right with that team. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like there's too many weird weeks for that team.
Well, and Ben Roethlisberger on the road versus home. I mean, the numbers go beyond just dismissing it as, it's not that big a deal, or it just happens to be a fluke. I mean, his numbers in Pittsburgh versus what he does on the road is real, and that's where they tend to get the boom. Where did that come from? Again, I agree with you. The defense is playing a lot better and has really played well. A lot of missed tackles defensively against the Colts, which surprised me a little bit. And so you're right. There are some things where, you want to jump and say, boy, this team, and they should be. And then it's not said that they're not going to be very good. But you just hesitate because we've seen enough of the other sometimes wondering, where does that inconsistency come from?
You know, you do. And Kansas City, you know, they're not as good defensively this year, even close. They're good offensively. They're really good. But their defense, now they lost Dontari Poe went to Atlanta. They lost Berry, which hurt them a lot. But they're getting killed on third down. They're just not, they haven't been a very good defense all year.
Yeah, which is surprising, but you're right. I mean, when you talk about, because they were elite defense last year, and all it takes is one or two parts of that puzzle changing and not being the same, and those were two big losses for them. And their offense is, as well as it's doing, they're not running the ball quite as well as they started out. I think people have caught up a little bit with some of the things that they're doing. They stretch you so much on the outside and then open it down the middle. Kareem Hunt, obviously, with the 100-plus scrimmage yards and playing so effectively. But the last three games in particular have not run as well. But they're certainly going to be a factor. But the same thing, you know, are they going to be able to go on the road to Pittsburgh, go on the road to New England in the playoffs and win?
Talking with Brian Billick about the NFL, you know, we talked about the Giants last week, and it went from bad to worse. It went from the ridiculous to the sublime. And, you know, now the owner put out a statement, you know, we'll evaluate when the season's over. Don't get anybody crazy now. They were calling for the coach. They're not going to do it in season. In season, we know, doesn't change anything. We know that. But when it gets this bad, what is your recourse as a team leader, as a coach? Where do you go when you've gone to the well and backed up the trucks and made all the comments after one bad week where you gave up 51 at home, and you go out and now you get buried by an 0-9 team and make them look like world beaters, and your team has another one of those weeks? Now you come back and you're looking at Kansas City coming in your building, and you've been defenseless the last couple of weeks. Where do you go?
That's a tough one because, yeah, at the end of the day, if that indeed is the 49ers' only win, or you're that team that loses to Cleveland, that's not good. You know, that's going to leave a mark. That's a hard one. And I was talking with some other people along the same line that you hear the familiar refrain when your team is struggling. Okay, we're going to get back to basics. We're going to simplify some things, which is code for basically, okay, we're making a lot of errors, so we got to cut down. So you really stress that, okay, the fundamentals, and we're going to get back to that. Now, and you're right, once you've played that card and you still know better, it's, well, okay, now what? I mean, we've simplified. What are we going to do? Now we're going to get more complicated, or we're going to take more, what it is, what do we hang our hat on? We're just going to go back to work and simplify things and be more fundamentally sound. And it's predictable. You know, every coach finds himself, particularly in November and December, and those coaches that are having those difficulties, you're going to hear the similar things. But you're right. All of a sudden, you do paint yourself into a corner that, okay, well, we did that, and it didn't work. What do we do now?
You know, there's no easy road. We understand that. I mean, but can there get to a point where there is no coming back?
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about within the season, yes. I mean, obviously.
Not coming back to be good, but just coming back to be competitive.
Yeah, and that comes back to what I said about, and the Giants are one of those really good organizations that are going to be supportive of a coach, because that's the only way, is for the coach to say, look, I know one thing. I'm going to be here next year. Now, the question is, are you going to be here? So the way you play between now and the end of the season, I'm going to find out whether you're going to be one of those guys that we can count on, or because of the way our season has gone, are you going to be one of those guys? But the organization, and they're right, saying, look, you don't want to have those conversations during the course of the season. It's just a bad place to be, even when you give that dreaded vote of confidence, which means at the end of the season, you're probably clear, to just say, okay, yeah, we're going to reevaluate at the end. But that is tough for an organization, because what it is, what carrot are you holding out between now and the end of the season? Now you're going to start playing some other players. Now it's a matter of how many questions can we get answered by the end of the season so we know what our marching orders are in January with regards to free agency and the draft and the other things that we're going to do.
Crazy situation, really is, and it's not getting any better. Thanks. We'll talk next week, Brian. Appreciate it. Thank
you. Sounds good.